Hey, podcast listeners. This is Jordan Tyler Coltman coming to you alongside Elliot Tanti. Elliot and I, along with some other guy, host a sports podcast show called Hat Trick. Elliot, tell these lovely listeners what they should expect when they, following this ad, go and subscribe to Hat Trick.
2 to 3 white guys per episode doing 3 topics, each of which surrounding the world of sports. We have a number of fun topics and hilarious games that we play, but also we dive deep into the darkest and most problematic aspects of particularly the NHL, but all sports in general. All done bi-weekly together as friends.
All right, so if that sounds even remotely interesting to you, you should probably head over to your favorite podcast app right now. In fact, probably use the one you're currently listening to, whatever this ad is running on. Smack that subscribe button, follow us, and enjoy the Hat Trick Sports Podcast, available everywhere you get your podcast. I'd say that was like a high quality ad right there.
I don't know if it was high quality, but all right.
Hello, welcome to the Mother Pucker Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, friends, family, countrymen. It is time. We've arrived at our Stanley Cup because the playoffs have begun. I am Reese. I am here with my beautiful co-host Riz, and we are getting in a episode just prior to the Oilers playing their first playoff game. We know the playoffs have officially begun. They began on Saturday night. That's okay. We are close. Not all the teams have played yet, so we're going to give you a bit of a bracket. We're going to give our picks for the playoffs. We're going to dig into the Oilers and their ballroom partner that they meet up once a year at this time. Like, that's, there's two seasons now in Edmonton. There's winter and seeing the LA
Kings.
Make
it 3. Let's go.
Absolutely. And we're going to chat playoff hockey, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for joining us. Let's jump right into it. So here we are.
Thank you so much for joining us. Here we go. It's playoff time, baby.
It's playoff time. We have no time to waste. It is playoffs. Games are being played as we speak. Our game is about to start as we speak.
Actually, in the background right now, it's like the hype video for Vancouver, because we're just going into the start of the Vancouver game. And it's like, you know, the streets have no name is going bananas.
The U2 is being played. Vancouver. So we are here at playoff time, and you know, a few months ago when we were talking about hockey and Oilers hockey and everyone's hockey, we didn't know what this was going to look like, but it feels like it's a pretty fair playing field of teams. It feels like it's the best teams in the league right now playing hockey. I don't think there's like an outlier or anything strange. Maybe, you know, Washington sneaking in that random.
I was gonna say Washington might be the only outlier
of the group. Yeah. But for the most part, it kind of shook down as people predicted last summer, or as the beginning of the season before the Oilers decided to do what they did in October and November. So
yeah.
Let's talk the whole league. Let's talk playoff matchups here.
Yeah, let's start with that. I will start by saying if you look at all of the conferences and the breakdowns and the way the wild cards shook out, actually, Reese, you know where we should start is how it came about that the Oilers are playing the Kings. Did you watch the last night?
I did. And the chaos that of the regular season. So the last night, it all came down to who. So we knew the Oilers were in second. We knew that was like it.
Solidified.
It was who they were playing that we were waiting to find out. Was it going to be LA and our proverbial dance partner come spring? Or was it going to be the Las Vegas Golden Knights? Mm-hmm. And they both played that evening.
Correct. And they played for who was going to play Dallas versus who was going to play the Oilers. That was kind of one of the last things that was not solidified. And I watched both of those games. I could not go to sleep because I didn't. The Oilers played Colorado and they played with zero of our starters.
The AHL team and poor Stuart Skinner had left out to dry.
Yeah, just lit them up. But again, like, and Warren Fogle made a send. I think I said out a tweet saying this might be a record for Warren Fogle shots on net because he was so desperate to get a hat trick. But Sorry, that wasn't that game. But in general, he was just flying around there.
Yes.
But yeah, so who cared about that game? We didn't care about Oilers Colorado. That was a nothing burger. We got, who was it all? It was McDavid, Draisaitl, Ekholm,
RNH,
Nuge, Hyman,
and Bouchard.
And there was one more, and Bouchard were out, right? So,
yep.
Okay. We don't care. Like, no. like that game was just roll over, make sure nobody gets hurt. Who cares?
Literally,
like,
just dress somebody like, so that you're not like fined something at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I do wonder, I hope that doesn't affect Skinner in a negative impact though going into playoffs.
I know, it was a very strange thing for me, but I keep going back to, so yeah, we'll get into the Oilers hockey and Skinner and what we think about our team and where we stand. But, you know, the one thing that I do think about Stuart Skinner, and I've had questions and sometimes have concerns about his streakiness, is he seems to rebound well, like mentally rebound well. Like, it's like he likes adversity. So I'm just putting my money on. I'm hoping for the best on that because it didn't really feel fair to him to be shoved
in there.
It didn't.
I was very, like, I get why they put, it just seemed, I thought they would just go and let him rest in that one too. But then I get you want to get some reps in because you got a couple days off before you play again. Cause that was Thursday. They don't play till Monday. Okay. I can see both sides of it, but yeah, that was interesting. But you kind of knew that, I mean, the Avs had all their horses in, and
everybody.
Even though like, yeah, it just seemed like an interesting tactic, but but that doesn't go to show that, was it just me or did it look like both LA and Las Vegas were trying to throw the games?
1,000%, especially Las Vegas. I was like, oh, they don't want to play the Oilers. Like, they are, they do not. They are throwing this game in every possible way to avoid playing the Edmonton
and
Oilers.
I would agree 100%. I think it very much looked to me that Vegas for sure looked like they were rolling over. But that seems like such an interesting thing to me because I hate to say it, but Dallas does not sound like a better option.
It doesn't to me. And I my only thought process, and maybe this was like coaching there and their decision as management, was it's like Dallas is like the devil you know better because of their playing, like beating them last year and moving on. But they also beat the Oilers. So like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't understand that whatsoever. It really did not look like, and there's no, I firmly don't think that there's a player out there that's going out there and thinking, oh, we're going to throw this game. Like, I never, ever would play that. But like, you'd almost think they'd have some urgency to play the Oilers over playing Dallas. Like, and they, that
if
was,
if Ottinger gets hot, that's it. Like, you know, I just go like, I wouldn't want to play Dallas first round. Just no, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we got know that Vegas went down. They looked like they weren't playing very hard. And then all of a sudden their game's over and it ended about the time that LA was in the second intermission and they were up 3 or 4-1 and they were just coasting. And then they came out and gave up 3 quick goals right away. And you're all of a sudden like, are they doing this on purpose too? Like, now I understand LA not wanting to play the Oilers. The last two years, it's kind of like the hump that you can't get over. There's really bad blood. I understand LA, but then enough that, athletes are athletes. And then they do score that last goal in the last couple minutes to send it to OT. And I think that was a solidifying factor. They didn't need to win it. They just needed to get a point at that point because Vegas had lost. Yeah. But that was an interesting turn of events. I'm like, holy shit, no one wants to play the Oilers. Okay.
I know. Yeah, it was a very weird evening and checking in. And I was like, I didn't watch. I checked into both games, turned them on. I was like, oh, okay, here we are. And then, Vegas is losing. Oh, okay. I guess they're really losing. This is strange. And then being like, okay, I guess it's LA. And then I was getting ready to go to bed and then tuned back in. And I was like, wait a minute, LA is losing now. What is happening? No one wants to play us. All right. Well, I'll take whoever is going to find their way to us. So here we are again. We are set back up to see the Los Angeles Kings again in the latter part of April. Third time's a charm. And I guess I hopefully... third time's a charm for us. But that was a weird step into the playoffs. And now here we are set. And this is the rundown. We've got Nashville and Vancouver, Colorado and Winnipeg, Edmonton and LA, Dallas and the Golden Knights, Florida and Tampa. The Islanders play
Florida.
That's right. The Islanders playing Carolina, Boston and the Leafs. And the Rangers, and who are the Rangers playing? Why am I blanking right now?
Rangers playing, they're playing
the Capitals, the one who snuck in. Thank you so much, as I saw the game today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so who do you got? Do you want to start in the East or in the West?
Yeah, let's start in the East. Let's start in the East, and then we'll just go series by series. We'll each give our picks. How many games? Okay,
great, perfect.
Okay, and if you want to give a little bit of a reasoning, then go for it.
Awesome.
Let's start with Battle of Florida. Who you got?
I have Florida taking it to Tampa, and I have it. And this isn't because of the one game. If you want to check my bracket from before, this was my bracket, mm-hmm. my online NHL bracket. But I have them in six games.
Okay.
I think like Stamkos is going to give a little pushback.
Yeah. I mean, he pushed back with 8 seconds left in the game today. He did. I actually am picking Tampa.
Oh, I like it. Spicy. You got the president. Tell me more.
You got the President's Trophy's winners, right? Mm-hmm. The Florida win, President's Trophy. That's official. Yeah. And Tampa, Kucherov is in the running for the MVP. I think the most votes are going for McKinnon, but Kucherov had like a pretty special season.
Absolutely.
100 assists, 40 goals. Like it's like almost like he's putting the team on the back. They still have Vasilevsky. Mm-hmm. They have the team and they know how to win, and Cooper, like I'm such a big like John Cooper fan, and it's funny because I actually don't like Tampa. I can't stand them, to be honest, but it's the President's Trophy's curse. So that's what I'm banking on here.
It's true. And how many games? Then knowing
seven.
That
I think it's got to go to seven though. Yeah. Seven. So that's why I'm still confident picking that pick on with, and because that game today was. It was close.
It was close.
Fourth. Like it there was close. Lot. Yeah, it could have gone either way.
Agreed.
Bobrovsky made some unbelievable saves in the third period, late in the third, that kind of just held Tampa out when they made that final push. But I think one thing that is funny to me that people talk about Kucherov this year is the power play merchants. that Tampa Bay power play though is lethal. Like they are phenomenal. So that's contributing to my Tampa and seven.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's bump over to Islanders and Carolina.
Okay. That might be my only sweep.
Carolina and four?
Carolina and four.
Because I have a soft spot for the Islanders, maybe it's the blue and the orange still. I've got Carolina and five.
Okay.
I don't see the Islanders coming out of that in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But like maybe Carolina takes the foot off the brake a little bit, or off the gas a little bit, and puts their foot on the brake, and maybe I'm going to give the Islanders one. So I'm saying
give them benefit Carolina. Out. Let them have a win at home in front of their fans, and then that'll be the end of it.
And that'll be the end of it. Yep. One little taste of victory. And you've got Carolina in four?
I got Carolina sweeping. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, let's jump over. And we got NY. Okay, so the Rangers and the Capitals. Our team, our little Washington Capitals, sneaking in with the weirdest situation
like
with
the negative
Red Wings.
Goal differential. They have no business being in the playoffs.
None whatsoever.
It's unbelievable. None. And they don't even have, like, their team is kind of broken up right now. Moral of the story is I've got, and but the thing, how you just described, though, I don't see. Carolina is so deep. I just don't see them taking their foot off the gas.
Fair,
like that. That's where I'm coming from. The Rangers sometimes just choose not to show up.
That's
and,
very true.
And Washington will capitalize on that. So I'm going Rangers in five.
I also have Rangers in five.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. I think like an example today of the game was like it was nothing until like midway through the second. And then it was just like a 5 minute window in which things fell apart. But
the wheels came off. Yeah.
Wheels came off. I think that the Capitals can maybe eke one out here.
They might. They might get one.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. And how fun would that be for one of them? I have no horse in that game, but I I hope they both have fun.
Okay. And I was totally wrong about going back to Florida. They won because it's the Rangers won the
right.
conference.
Yes.
The Rangers are the won. President's Trophy. So I wasn't even close on that one. Florida's like way further down. I don't know why I thought they were so far up, because I think at one point they were during the year. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think discount Florida. They've got something that Paul Maurice.
Well, mind you, last year they got in on the last day of the year and then they go on that run.
There's some weirdo energy in that room, I think, that I'm interested in.
Okay. You're like, tell me more.
And then, so our final with our only Canadian team in the East is Boston and Leafs.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I would love nothing more to disrespect and call it a sweep, but I do think that it's that Boston and six, I'll call it.
Boston and six. So I am with you. I would love to say Boston sweeps those Toronto Maple Leafs, but there is firepower there. I can't say that there isn't. So I actually have Boston and the Leafs going to seven games and Boston winning in the seventh game, which also would sting a little. So I've got Boston in seven.
But that is just like, to me, it's almost sweeter that way, because it's like the same song over and over again.
So close, but so far.
I love it. Like, I just, there's nothing that like lights my heart up more than talking to a Toronto Maple Leaf fan after they've just lost to Boston in games.
I know. I don't want to enjoy it, because I'm like, oh, is it bad? Like, it's hockey karma juju? Yeah. But man, so it is really enjoyable. Really enjoyable that they lost by that much yesterday. I won't lie. It's just little sweet victories, you know.
We take the one thing I will say though, like in playoffs, a loss is a loss and a win's a win. It doesn't matter the score. Like
it doesn't
literally
really.
Like, no. If we learned anything from the Battle of Alberta 2 years ago, it doesn't matter if it's 9-6 or 1-0. Like And I think there's just so much water off the back, and every game the tides can turn so quickly that playoffs. That's what we love about playoffs. That's what we're going for here. So, if it's Boston in seven, I will be equally as happy.
Oh, I love it. That was great. Yeah. Okay, so now we move over into our side of the world, into the West. And why don't we start with the game that's currently playing, which is Nashville and Vancouver are currently playing here in Vancouver where I live. And I'm curious to know your thoughts. What do you got?
I'm going to pick Vancouver. I never thought that place that I'm like, now I do think that Nashville, they were the hottest team going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they're not going to roll over easily. I think Vancouver, you know, I bet on tonight's game and I bet big time on the Canucks. I think the Canucks are just, you're at home. It's going to be wild in there. It's been a while since there's been some good playoff hockey, and with
many years,
feels like they have a lot of hope. Yeah. So, I have Vancouver winning in six.
Okay. So I think it's like against my religion to say Vancouver. So I'm saying Nashville, but I'm saying Nashville in seven. Okay. Again, only because I think you're right. Vancouver is a great team. They haven't had playoffs in a while. They seemed to do very well this year, as much as that pains me to admit. And I think it's just going to be like a fluky game seven where they just, you know, like shit the bed, excuse my language. Like it just is what it is. So that's, I've got Nashville in seven. That could totally blow up my bracket, but that's okay. I have to go with my heart on that.
Gotta
one.
Make these picks.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to the now. This is the craziest thing about the other conference. You have Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, and Las Vegas.
Yes.
Any of those four teams could win the cup.
It's a murderer's row for sure.
I don't think there's many people out there that would discredit that and not say that you could pick at least two of those teams to win the cup this year.
Absolutely. And thank God that two of them are murdering each other, or that they're going to like cannibalize each other.
That's my hope. I hope they're all going to kick the crap out of each other. And it started today. So let's start with the best game of the playoffs so far, Winnipeg and Colorado. Who you got?
Yeah. So I know that we just finished this game in Winnipeg and it was just like a barn burner. I think the defense forgot to show up tonight, but I actually have Colorado in six.
Okay. Okay. Respectable. I have Winnipeg in seven.
Oh, fun. But that's good. That's a good case scenario for anyone who's going to come see them after.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk. I don't know who you would say your Vezina winner this year, but I think it's Hellebuck is beyond far in the running for it.
Yes.
I think he, or if not, if it's based on stats. But so if you would have told me today to what I would bet, I would have bet the under, because in my mind, there wasn't going to be a lot of goals scored in this game.
Absolutely. I thought
wrong.
Yes. Boy, ever. Yeah. Hellebuck let in what? Six goals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goals.
That's a lot of goals.
Hockey game.
Yeah. Now, like the sixth goal, this is crazy. Also, this game, people, if you didn't watch the highlight, go back and watch the highlights in this game. Adam Laurie scored a goal that hit three posts and came out of the net. And luckily, there is one little piece of the puck when it flipped up in between hitting the second and the third post that had enough of a white behind it to be past the goal line. Otherwise, it was like, I would describe it like air hockey, you know, when it just goes
forth, like right over the goal line.
It was crazy. Yeah. And then Colorado's sixth goal went off Hellebuck's face mask and hit the back of Brandon Dillon's helmet before it was swatted out of the air. Like, just weird, crazy goals that happen.
Next game, if you are betting on this game, go with the under, because I think they are going to shut some stuff down. It's going to be like a 2-1, 2-1 boring, very dry hockey game.
You know what? I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to bet the under on that game next time for sure. Because I agree with you.
After that, you have to, right? Like,
there's
both
no
of those
way
teams.
You're having those bounces again. Like, it was crazy. Yeah.
No, that's weird hockey luck and maybe some nerves and some whatever else, all that combined. But yeah, next game's going to be like 2-1 or 1-0 or like just the driest, most offensive-minded game ever.
For sure. So we got our picks for that. And then Dallas and Vegas. The return of Mark Stone, who hasn't actually been announced that he's playing tomorrow.
No, but he was announced today that he can take full contact.
Okay, so it's announced today that he can take full contact, but still doesn't say, is he playing tomorrow? Do we know?
But he's going to play. He's not going to play.
Let's be honest, death
and Mark Stone playing in game one after being gone for 3 months. Those are the things that you can count on in life. So if you've tuned into the show before, if you're one of our beautiful listeners, you know how much I hate the Golden Knights. Like, it's a deep seething hate. Mm-hmm. I really want Dallas to, like, you know, again, I would love a sweep. It's not going to be a sweep, unfortunately, I don't think. I've got Dallas in seven. If it can't be a sweep, I want Dallas and the Golden Knights to beat on each other until they cannot beat on each other any longer. And that they're both so banged up coming out of that. So I'm going to say Dallas in seven.
Okay. I also have Dallas in seven, but I think, to your point, the determining factor here is not going to be Mark Stone. I think the determining factor is going to be whether or not Aiden Hill gets hot.
Yeah.
He's had
last
a slump.
And then last year was an anomaly, or it seems to be,
it on.
Right?
I wouldn't say it, like, I don't know. I tend to give goaltenders the battle of respect too, but also because we will say that Ottinger has been, he went through a little cold spell. I think it was like in February, March, but he's kind of been back now. I think goaltending is going to be everything in that series. And to your point, I hope they kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah. Just leaving bloody and bruised after game seven is whatever team comes out. And I hope it's Dallas. I hope that they're just so banged up that they're half unrecognizable. That's my open prayer for that series. Okay. Uh-huh. So we come to the final one, our team, the Edmonton Oilers versus the LA Kings. We've seen them before 2 years in a row. So 2 years ago in 2022, it went to seven games. And last year it was six games.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
We're just going to continue with that trend. And that means that in 2024, it's going to be five games. Oilers
Edmonton
in five, baby.
Edmonton in five. That's what I got. I love that. Mm-hmm. I've got Edmonton in six. I wanted to say five. I wanted that trend. You know, I think there's like, I always, you know, always fear the like, okay, third time's a charm situation, or they've kind of finally got over that hump. And I, you know, you just can't underestimate LA. They play a very antithetical system to our offensive team. And last mm-hmm. year they exposed a lot of holes in Stuart Skinner's play. So yeah. as much as I would like it to be five, and gosh, would that be amazing? It would save me a whole year of my life probably would be added to my life by stress, one game yeah. of stress. Yeah. I think like the game differential is like one game extra is another year I get or I remove from my life. So I would really like it to be five, but yes, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what they, yeah, I'm curious to see how this plays out for the third time in a row.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with the NHL. Why do we have to play at 8:30? Like, why? 8:30 is so late. Like,
Sunday night?
I don't even have,
on like, a Monday night and a Wednesday night? Like, come on.
Come on. And then the problem, though, you know, is that in playoffs, I'm sure my husband will record me. Well, maybe we'll send it on the Mother Pucker podcast at some point. I don't sit during these games, especially in the third period. If it's close, I pace.
Me too.
however, I think I knew that about you. I think we talked about this before, but we changed the configuration of the couch this year so that I don't actually have a walking path to go back.
Oh,
and
no.
forth.
So can I'm you not... do some, can you do some interior decorating before tomorrow evening?
I might just switch it back to where it was last year. I might have to.
I'm in the same boat. I pace. Last year, my Apple Watch asked if I needed to sit down because my heart was racing too hard. I was like, I'm not going to die. I promise. It's just hockey. Yeah, I pace and I have like a mantra where I'm like I find some sort of mantra like shots on goal or like shots on net, clean hit, shots on net, like clean hit.
Same, yeah.
Same like mantra for myself.
Okay.
It makes me psychotic. Playoff hockey makes me psychotic and not in a way like I can't even own it as like being cute. It's not. It's detrimental to my health and well-being. Yet here I am. So I just hope it's a blowout and then you don't have to pace in the third. That's what I hope for you.
Thank you. I hope that too. I have the disadvantage of being an hour ahead of you and yeah, it just sucks because it's not like the game is over at 11 or 11:30 and I can just go to bed. It's like, no. Then I've got to like, I don't smoke, but I feel like this is like the time where people would sit down and have a dart and like, you know, like relax.
Yes. Like what do you do to take the edge off after much
how
stress?
How do you come down from that is what I need to learn how to do. So
I
that's
am with you.
Issue because now it's like, now it doesn't matter if the game ended and then if we got overtime, oh my God. Then it's like, guys, I'm not going to bed now until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It's ridiculous.
It's really, it is really ridiculous. And you know, as Snoop Dogg says, like, why doesn't, you know, this league does not want to celebrate their best player. Like I want Snoop Dogg in Gary Bettman's chair and like, and hockey games will start at 6 p.m. Yeah. when people can see McDavid at a proper hour. But I agree with you. I'm very sorry. It's going to be so late out there. It's a little earlier here for me on the West Coast. But I have to deal with Vancouver fans. So I guess that's my
price
penance
payoff.
I pay. That's my penance. That's right.
I don't envy you for that at all. No.
Well, so let's jump in. Let's talk about Edmonton and LA and what we think the series is going to look like, what we're excited for, what we're nervous for, what's your initial thoughts on Edmonton playing LA again?
My first concern is why is it all over social media today that Evander Kane has been battling a hernia?
Thank you.
Why?
Thank
you. This is something that comes out in June. We don't need to know that right now. Like that is something and like, hernias are not kind of the thing that, you know, I just think back to LA 2 years ago and everybody, or even when we're playing Battle of Alberta and Draisaitl getting his ankle whacked at every single time, right? Like, it's like, we don't expose what people's injuries are at this time of year, guys.
If it's not on the papers, like, you don't need to say it. You don't need to say it out loud.
No, it doesn't need to be said. So, cool. So that means that we know that, like, okay, is everyone going to be going for his guts? I'm not sure. Or, I mean, you could have it in your groin too. There's a couple places where men can get hernias. But Evander Kane, so we know he hasn't been at the top of this game. So, and like, yes, okay, it explains a lot, whatever. But I still think what we need from him is is his mouth. Like,
yes.
Like, if maybe we know as a team, we can't be expecting him to maybe to put up the points and score those skill goals that we used to, we still need him to mix shit up. Like, that's what we need him for right now. And I'm a little worried that, like, he's going to be a little soft if he's a little hurt and he's not going to maybe be going into those corners or inserting himself in situations. Quote unquote, what are any of you going to do about it? Well, we need him to be the guy that's standing up like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I have, like, can I tell you my spicy thought? Here's my spicy thought on why this was said.
I love the spicy thoughts.
Because it was him who said it. And I wonder, and I totally believe he's injured. I'm sure he's got a hernia, but he says it's been happening. It's been an issue all year. And I wonder if it has not been happening all year. It is a new thing. And it is just a nice cover for the fact that he's had a year that has struggled. And it's giving him grace and leeway with the fans to struggle because he's not mentally there or like his head's not in it or whatever. I want to believe it's happened all year. But like, then why not use LTIR and get him surgered and have him ready to go at this point?
I don't think it's been that long. I think it's been a couple months that he's had it. And if he would have had to get surgery, let's say this even happened at the beginning of call it the end of January or something, you know? And then by the time they make the decision, get him the surgery, I don't think he's back in 100% for playoffs.
That's fair. But he's not 100% now. And you are absolutely correct that the thing that he does the best, and he does against a team that I say it like there's some rats on the LA Kings. Like, Dowdy's a rat, you know? Like,
rat.
Mike Anderson's a rat. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we need an absolute menace in Evander Kane to mix shit up. And thankfully we have Corey Perry, and Corey Perry needs to go in and go gremlin mode.
Good thing we've got our backup with Corey Perry. And I don't even argue, like, the way Ekholm playing right now, like, who is going to want to mess with that guy?
Totally. That's a big ass Viking dude who can score goals and keeps pucks out of nets. Ekholm, I bow to you. But I like, if I'm with you, like, I'm worried Evander's going to be a bit soft and maybe a bit of a liability. Like, we've seen the drama on the bench with him sort of, clearly if he was injured and he's not making a full play, we've seen the drama. So then what happens then in these sort of do or die games if he can't do his job to his best of his ability? I was a little, today, seeing that splashed all over the media, I was like, why is this happening today? Why are we talking about this right now? Just say lower body. So with that in mind, then, knowing Evander, who is a playoff kind of guru, like, that's when he shines, right? Like, that's when the best of Evander comes out. What do you think about what is the rest of the team bringing, and what are your fears, and what are you excited for?
I think I am excited for exactly what we just said. We have Evander Kane, who's supposed to be our rat man, but also rough and tough kind of big dog. But we also have Corey Perry, and we also have Ekholm. And I think I'm most excited that this team really is bigger and meaner than it has been in the last two playoffs. Well, the last two playoffs, when we've truly believed that we have a Stanley Cup contender, I think we are bigger and meaner. And that is something that actually always pays off in playoffs.
Agreed.
So that's
because then our offensive power can go do what they want without being manhandled.
Agreed. Yep. So that's the thing I'm most excited for to see come to fruition. And I think the thing I'm most nervous for is kind of the thing that we've addressed the whole year, and we love him, but Stuart.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that is Stuart Skinner, who did not do well last playoffs. It is, you know, they always like to say, people like to run their mouths online and like, oh, McDavid's just a regular season merchant, like Mr. Nobody in the playoffs. And my bigger fear is Stuart Skinner in the playoffs, because he can go on these amazing runs and play so great in the year. And then last playoffs, he was kind of invisible. And we had Jack Campbell bail us out. He came in for Stuart Skinner and bailed us out.
Yeah.
I don't know if Pickard can do that the whole time to the same ability. I'm not sure. I think Pickard's great for when he needs to step up to the plate. But like, we actually need Stuart Skinner to be the best Stuart Skinner he possibly can be.
Now, did you hear Hank's breakdown of Stuart Skinner?
I didn't hear it. I read the Hank list, and he had him on the top, what? Like, he was in the first top 10? Oh, third. Oh, I'll take that. Thank you. Do you remember what he shared or why he was like?
Yeah, he said, and it actually came down to numbers. He actually pulled stats. And I don't recall, I don't want to put words in the mouth and then somebody fact check me on it. So, but he actually wasn't just going on, I think he's a great goaltender. He was using hard stats about the high danger shots and stuff like that. And to him, Stuart Skinner's numbers jumped out at him. So I was like, whoa, okay.
Okay.
Something another way that I haven't like really ever considered. So that actually is kind of nice to hear, you know, like it's like,
it
okay.
Is nice to hear.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the rest of the panel though did lose their mind and be like, what?
I think it's also hard because you're in the West with Ottinger, Hellebuck and Demko.
Right.
So like you, when you've got the murderer's row of goaltenders.
Yep. Yeah,
and absolutely. You know, Demko's just back in now after being unwell or being injured or whatever was going on in Vancouver. I tried to avoid them. I think that's the hard thing to wrap your mind around is like, oh, Stuart Skinner, when you're comparing to Ottinger and you're comparing even to Hill when Hill was playing great, right? So, yeah. But that's great. And I want so badly for Stuart Skinner to have the like best playoffs ever. Like, just stand on your head, Stuart. Old Stewie, please bail us out when we need it. And
basically
want him to
be the man that Kenny Holland has manifested you into being.
That's right. That's right. Hometown hero, right? Like
yeah,
you be the hometown hero. Be the Fernando Pisani who's not scoring goals of the Oilers. You know?
Yeah, let's go with that. I like that. That's a great play on
them. We need the hometown hero. I'm with you. That's my fear too, is just where Stuart lines up with all of this.
Sorry, so we kind of skipped over what are you most excited about then?
Oh, that's a good question. I am excited for, I don't know. I'm probably just terrified in all general. No, I am. I'm so excited. I think I'm most nervous about this series only because of the relative like
history,
yeah, and how close it is, and how close games have been. But I am excited to see Zachary Hyman do Zachary Hyman things because he always just comes in clutch at great times. Ekholm has been playing amazing. I hope that just continues. I want to see that. I would love to see RNH start to warm up a bit more and get hot. But I think I'm most excited for Corey Perry. I can't believe I'm saying that word out loud. I actually am. That's it. I'm
the most.
I just needed to get there. I am the most excited to see Corey Perry on our team being Corey Perry.
Being Corey Perry in playoffs like that. It's just like it's a thing. You hate it. You hate it more than anything. But he's on our team.
We just haven't really had that like real menacing. Like, yes, Evander is elite in the goal scoring in the playoffs, and he also can be tough and he can also fight and he can rile up a crowd and he can do all those things. But there's something like Brad Marchand-y about Corey Perry where you're like, no, you just don't know what he's going to do, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know. Is he going to pull your stick? Is he going to kiss you? Is he going to lick your like face?
He's never licked anyone. Definitely going to do something real cheap in the corner.
But
that's for
sure. Yes, right? Like that's what I think I'm most excited for is Corey Perry doing Corey Perry stuff. I'm thankful he is on our side this year.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, right. As we speak, Nashville is up by one.
Mm-hmm.
So Vancouver's got to figure it out. Vancouver's gonna have to come a little harder here, but we have a lot of hockey to watch in the next few weeks, my friend. Is there anything else you want to talk about as we head into these playoffs before we leave our wonderful listeners?
I just want to say PWHL, another record shattered, over 21,000
yes
watching Toronto clinch it in Montreal. I hate to say this, I'm a Toronto fan for the PWHL. I just hate it because it's Toronto. But all
that's
my,
okay. Like, it doesn't count when it's amazing women hockey players.
And it's just they showed a video side by side of them playing in the Bell Center in 2016 versus 2024.
Aww.
And we've come a long way, friends. And it's just the beginning, and I'm so excited for it. So
how can you not be emotional about that? Do you know what I mean? Like, how can you not?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So we've got men's and women's playoffs to look forward to this year. So we get, not only is the Stanley Cup playoffs the best time of year, we got the PWHL playoffs too. So let's bring it on. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. It's the greatest time. I have to, in the middle of these playoffs, I have to go and work in Wisconsin, of all places. And
right.
And today I had a meeting with a team in Wisconsin, and we were setting up like logistics. And they're like, so does anyone have any other questions about like where you'll be in Wisconsin? It's in a beautiful little city called Eau Claire. And I was like, can someone tell me what bars play hockey?
And they're like, with hockey?
I was like, they were like, I think there's this one. And I was like, and if it's not, what do I do? And they're like, I guess you could come over to our house. We don't watch. I'm like, you do now. You watch
guess
hockey
what? Get
now.
On the train.
Because this is the best time of year. And I love being an Oilers fan when we have Oilers playoff hockey. I hope tomorrow night that Edmonton is so loud, shows up, takes back that title of the loudest building, and that we win. You know, the Oilers are not notoriously in the past few years have not won game one. So I would like us to take game one with authority and keep going from there.
We love to hear it. Let's go, awesome. Oilers. I can't wait for tomorrow. Reese, it's always a pleasure.
It's the best talking
we're
to
gonna,
you.
We're just going to have so much to talk about. So I look forward to our next week's connection.
Have a great playoff watching experience. We'll be texting tomorrow night, I'm sure. And let's go, mm-hmm. Oilers. This has been the Mother Pucker. Let's go, Oilers. This has been the Mother Pucker podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you like this podcast, feel free to check us out where you get your podcasts, the Ordinary Podcasting Network, a lot of other great podcasts on the network. Thanks so much. This has been the Mother Pucker podcast.
The Mother Pucker podcast is a proud member of the Ordinary Podcasting Network. For more information on this or any of our other podcasts, please visit ordinarypodcast.com. The Ordinary Podcasting Network would like to acknowledge that the lands on which our conversations take place include the traditional territory of the Treaty 7 people in southern Alberta and the Métis Nation of Alberta, as well as the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations.